Oh, come on. I know we lost an hour of sleep, but come on. You got to stay with me from the start. Good morning, church. Fantastic. Hey, I'm super glad that you are here this morning. If you're visiting with us, I hope that you've been greeted. I hope that you've been made to feel welcome. We're certainly glad you are here. If you would, please take those black attendance pads, sign your name and your family's name, and then pass it to the people next to you so they can do the same. That would be greatly appreciated. And also, if you would go ahead and open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. We are still in this sermon series. We've got 2 weeks left, this week and next week. We're still in this sermon series called God at Work. And today what we are doing is something different than what we've typically done. We are simply studying just a single verse of Scripture. And so open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verse 33 of Romans chapter 11 in just a moment. Allow me to say from the onset that we are a church that's committed to God's Word. If you've been coming here for quite some time, I hope that you know this truth to be evident, that we are committed to preaching what God's Bible, what His Word would say. And we are not necessarily interested in just tickling your ears or preaching what you want to hear or that will make you feel good at the end of the day. I mean, if we were not committed to God's Word, this is a sermon that I believe would not be preached from the pulpit of Burnside Christian Church. Because you see, I've been telling you now for several weeks that God is at work. I've been telling you all about how God works and all the great things that He does and how God works and the way that God shows up and the time in which God is just going to come through when it seems like He's not there. He's going to come through at the very last moment and come through with something big. Well, the title of this morning's sermon is Accepting the Mystery of God. And I'll explain more what I mean about that here in just a moment. This sermon is truly an anomaly. What do I mean by that? Well, this sermon was originally a part of another sermon in this series. If you remember, in the second week that we preached this sermon, the sermon series, we talked about how God works. This part, this sermon that I'm getting ready to preach to you, was actually a part of that sermon. But guess what? That sermon was already too long, and I had to cut something, and so I cut that fourth point out of that sermon and made it a three-point sermon. And this sermon is kind of an anomaly. It's kind of a strange standalone thing because it was really too long to be a part of another sermon, but it's really, honestly, too short to be part of its own sermon. But we're gonna make it its own sermon here this morning. And you're like, did he just say short? Yes, I did say short. You remember how we talked about the way that God works and how we studied 2 Kings chapter 4 about a woman who was recently a widow. Her husband had died. The creditor was coming to confiscate her two kids as payment on a debt. And she was at her wit's end, didn't know what to do. So she goes and she visits Elisha. And Elisha intervenes in her life and tells her what she needs to do in that situation. And we gave you just a little glimpse of how God works through the story of that woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. Well, this morning, the reason that this was originally part of that sermon series is because this is a way that God works. And sometimes when God works, we just need to understand that there are things that we are just not going to understand about God's plans and about God's ways and about God's methods. And so in that sense, you and I have to accept the mystery of God. That there are some things that we're not going to understand. So let's look at our text here this morning from Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Paul is writing and he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways." So in this single verse of Scripture, Paul gives three descriptions of how God works. And he describes God's plans to us. And the first thing that Paul says about God's plans is this, that God's wisdom is unknowable. What Paul is doing here, in essence, is he's looking down the well of God's wisdom, and he cannot see the bottom. How many of you guys, if you're with me this morning, let me see a raise of hands. How many of you have ever stood on top of a very tall building, men? Or you're out on a bridge and it's very tall, and you look over the edge, and what's the first thing you do? Who said it? You spit, right? Ladies, I'm sorry about this. I don't know why we do this, but we do it. It's like part of our DNA. We spit. And one of the reasons that we spit is, I think in part, we're trying to see just how far down the bottom is. And what Paul is saying here is, in Romans chapter 11, he's just finished writing some remarkable things about God in salvation. And being inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul is looking back over the first 10 chapters of what he's just written, and he says this, he concludes this, "Whoa, baby! God is awesome!" That's in essence what he's saying here in verse 33. And while we don't want it to be true, it is true. And it's hard to hear that God's wisdom and the way that he works at certain points is unknowable to you and to me. There's something about that truth, however, that is very comforting. I think I said this 2 weeks ago. I think Seth gave this the communion meditation about just the fact that God is God. He has the title I Am. And by him having the title I Am, that means that Mark Nichols is not. That means that you are not. And there's some comfort in that, that God is God. And sometimes the way that he works and the way that he moves, we're not going to understand it. And we just have to submit and resign ourselves to the fact that he is God and I am not. And so are you okay with that? Are you okay with the fact that there are some things that God will not take the time to explain to us? That there are some things in this life that I can't explain to you why God does it the way that he did it. Are you okay with that? And that's why we need to be really careful when people are hurting. When we encounter people who have been enduring a deep hurt, and we rush up to them and we say things without thinking, things like, "Well, God has a plan." "Oh yeah, he does? Do you know what his plan is?" "Well, no, I don't have a clue." Right. And sometimes those words can be a very harsh thing to say to someone who's hurting, because it implies that sometime very soon we're going to understand what God's plans are. And the fact is, many times we will not know what God's plan is. And all that we can do is, by faith in that moment, embrace the mystery of God. He's God. I don't know why he's doing what he's doing. We would all do well to embrace the fact that God has some secrets that he will not share with us. I mean, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, it says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever." Think about that just for a moment. That's a verse that you ought to have locked and loaded in here and in here, because that's a bullet that you're going to need for your gun sometime in the future. There's a lot of things that God has chosen to reveal to us about himself. He's told us a lot about who he is and what he's all about. But there are some certain things, some secret things, that you and I will never know. And we have to be okay with that. So God's wisdom is unknowable. Notice the second thing that Paul says about God, his plans. He says God's purpose is unsearchable. In the New American Standard, it uses the phrase, "How unsearchable are his judgments." You see, God is a judge. And what do judges do? They make verdicts, they make laws, they make precedents. And God's decrees are unsearchable. Well, do you mean that God won't give me any insight into what's going on in my life? No, I'm not saying that. I mean, James chapter 1, verse 5 says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Now, James chapter 1, verse 5 is in the context of difficult things that you're experiencing. It's in the context of trials. And so if you're going through a really tough time and you don't understand why it's happening to you, we're told that in those situations, in those tough times, God will give wisdom. But here's the thing I think you need to understand. I think the understanding that God promises isn't the why God has allowed the thing to happen. But rather, I think what God gives to us in those times when we're going through the hard times is what lesson I am to learn because of the hard thing I'm going through. So when I go to God and I say, "God, I don't know why this really hard thing is happening to me. Why have you allowed it to happen to me?" Very often, in my experience at least, God's not telling me why it's happening. But I do think in those times, the right question to ask God, the one that I have found that He answers 100% of the time, is this: God, what is it that You're trying to teach me through this hard thing? That's a question that God answers, I believe, 100% of the time. How many of you have heard the phrase, everything happens for a reason? Is that true? Does everything happen for a reason? Well, it depends. If you mean that there's some fatalistic script that I have to follow that has, we have no change of the outcome and no change of the ending, and this is no, we have no choice in the matter, this is how it's going to be, well, I don't think the Bible supports that. But if you mean that everything happens for a reason because there is a God who is sitting on His throne, who is ruling the universe with His feet up, what does that mean? That means it's no big deal for God to rule the universe. He's not sweating it. He's not worried about it. He's not, you know, wringing His hands. He's got it under control. If you mean that everything happens for a reason because there is a God who is ruling the universe, who carefully measures every circumstance, then yes, I think there everything does happen for a reason in that sense. But you have to understand, there are things that happen in this world that God doesn't want to have happen. You know that, right? And that's because you and I have a choice. We have a thing called free will. And because we have a free will, and because sin entered the world, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that was not perfect, that's not perfect. A world that's in decay, if you will. And so that's why things like sin happen. And the reason that we live in a fallen world and we are experiencing decay in this world is the reason that people get sick and die. Things happen all the time that God doesn't want to have happen. But you say, well, can we ever know God's purposes? Can't we know why this happened? Well, sometimes God does give us insight into why He has allowed to happen what has happened. Can you think back over your life where there was a time or a situation where you went through it and something was very difficult, but you got into insight from the Lord as to why? Or maybe something that you wanted to have happen and you longed for it to happen and you wished it was going to happen and it didn't happen. Did you ever later on realize and think back and think, man, I'm really glad that didn't happen? Sometimes you're given insight into why things happen the way they happen. But more oftentimes than not, God doesn't ever really explain the why of something hard that's happening to you in your life. What I did this past week was I spent some time reflecting on the top five hardest things that I've ever seen a family in our church go through. And I'm not going to share with you my top five, because as soon as I share my list of top five hard things that have happened to families in our church, you're going to think, he didn't name mine. But I'm talking about these five things that came to my mind, some of them happening, you know, 10 years ago, some of them happening 5 years ago. Shocking, stunning. God, how could this happen? And in all five instances, I don't have a peek. I don't have a glimmer. I don't have an inkling of a notion as to why God allowed the tough thing to happen. It's a mystery. And how unloving it would be for me to talk to you all this time about the way that God works and not be honest with you and tell you that sometimes there's a mystery behind what God allows to happen. I can't tell you why God chooses to heal some people from cancer and why He chooses not to heal others from cancer. That's God's wisdom is unknowable. God's purpose is unsearchable. Here's the third thing, and you can see it right from the verse. It says, God's method is unfathomable. Let me read for you our verse once more. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. Do you know what a fathom is? It comes from the German word, which means line. A fathom was a term that was used by sailors. When they wanted to know how deep the water was, what they would do is they would take a measure of rope. And a fathom became known as an arm span's length of rope, which is about 6 feet. And what they would do as sailors, as they were trying to determine the depth of that water that they were in, they would take one end of that rope, tie a weight to it, toss it overboard, and they'd measure it out. 6 feet equals one fathom. Two fathoms is 12 feet. 18 feet is 3 fathoms, so on and so forth. And what does Scripture tell us about God's ways? Unfathomable. You can pull line for the rest of your life. You don't have enough rope to figure out the bottom or the depth of God's ways. You'll never understand them. It's a mystery. Well, what hope do I have? Well, let me give you some scripture that I think will be of some hope to you. And through this entire situation, even though we may not know what God's, how His ways are, or the depth of what He's thinking, or how He's behaving, we have some hope that we can have, that we can cling to. And the first thing I want to tell you this morning is that God has promised that no matter what, no matter what situation you're in, when you don't understand it, when you don't get it, when you don't like it, no matter what, God will be faithful to be with you even to the end of the age. It was a promise that He first issued in Matthew chapter 28 to His disciples as He was getting ready to leave them. But it's also a promise that is reiterated back in Hebrews, that God is with us. That there is nothing that man can do to me that where God is not present through it all. That He will not forsake us. That He will not abandon us. But then there's also scriptures like Psalm chapter 46 verse 10. Which encourage us in that moment when we don't understand what's going on to simply be still and know that He is God. That God's got it. That it's in His hands. And I may not understand it, and I may not like it, but I believe it. Well, I've got to have something better than that. Listen, it's a mystery. And what we're seeking to be about here at Burnside Christian Church is not this pseudo-Western world Disneyland Christianity. We want the real thing. We want the thing that is real, that is tangible. And this is what God's Word says, that there's a mystery to Him, how He works. There's things that we won't understand about God. And so here's the choice that you have. When you're experiencing the hard thing that you don't understand, you can wander and wonder, or you can worship. You can wander away from God and be shaking your head and being like, well, where's God? He must not be real because this is happening to me. You can wander and wonder, or you can worship. You can fall on your knees and surrender, declaring, you are God and I am not. You can grow bitter, not understanding why this is happening, or you can grow better and you can accept the mystery of God. It's so shockingly arrogant that we would try to force God to make Himself known to us in all areas. I mean, stop and consider this. Scientists have told us that an electron, you know electrons, right? That electrons are so small that if you multiplied it to the size of an apple, and if you took a human being and you multiplied the same percentage to the human being that you applied to the apple or to the electron, that man could hold the solar system in the palm of his hand and he would need a magnifying glass to be able to see it. That's how small an electron is. And the God of the universe, who spoke everything into existence, rules over it. And we want to try to comprehend Him. And we want to declare to God that He better give me an answer as to why this is happening by next Friday. God, forgive us. And so what comfort there is in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and how unfathomable His ways. And this is a sermon that I don't preach callously. I mean, I've wept with just as many families in this church as probably anyone here today. I know what it's like to walk with people to hard places. But it's not the cotton candy truth that will sustain us during the hard places of life. It's the deep things of God. And Romans chapter 11, verse 33 is a deep truth for us to embrace and believe. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are above our thoughts. And to have faith in God means that you trust Him, that He knows what He's doing. So one scripture to close, and then we're going to worship some more together. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. I want to read it for you this morning. It says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Look, I know there are some things that are hard in life that you can't comprehend, that you have a hard time understanding why you're going through them. But did you see what Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 say to do, especially in those times? Let Christ's words dwell in your hearts richly. Sing to one another, to encourage one another with the truths found in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Be thankful. Did you catch that? Two times. Be thankful to God. Even in the midst of tragedy and difficulty, there are some things in which we can be thankful to God for. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship together again as a church family. Let's pray. God, again, we thank You that You are a God who's working, even when we can't see it. God, I pray that You would help us to have faith in that. And God, forgive us at times when we've made demands upon You, where we've wanted to see You and we've wanted to have You explain Yourself to us. God, You are God and You need no explanation. But I do thank You for the times that You do choose to reveal Your truth to us. And Father God, I pray that this morning, that those who are going through a hard time, especially that are struggling to know Your purposes and Your plans, Father, I pray that if it be Your will, that You'd give them some insight into that. And Father, if it not be Your will, I pray, Father, that You would let them see Your promises unfold, that You've made this promise that You will always be with us and that You will never forsake us, that You've made a promise that You will be present through us, with us through the valley. And help us to look for You in those times. Thank You for this church family. Thank You for their encouragement of one another. And I pray, Father, that as we continue to follow after Jesus, and some of us have to go through some hard things, that we will be there for one another to encourage, to lift up. And right now, Father, I pray that we're able to worship. I pray that we're able to return to You and say how good and gracious You've been. Thank You for showing Yourself in situations in the past, and we look forward to seeing You in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.